Would you say that church is more like a movie, a concert, or a team sport? If church were like a movie, we'd come in with our friends or our family, we'd sit down in a comfy seat, and then the show would start and we'd watch the proceedings for, you know, hour and a half before leaving. If church were like a concert, the musicians would be doing something interesting up the front. We'd sit down similarly and we'd watch what's going on. Maybe we'd sing a verse or a chorus of the song if we particularly liked that one. Or is it a team sport where everyone comes together and has a role to play? Some have more important jobs than others, while others have supporting jobs. I'll put it out there. I think church is like a team sport. Because one of our problems is that we are too willing to be passive instead of being active in church. A church service can be like a movie or a concert. We do have interesting things up the front. We do aim to have good music. But our church should not just be like a movie or a concert. Church should be more like a team sport, where every single person in this building is involved in what happens during this hour, hour and a half of this church service. Today, as we continue in our series looking at the church, we're looking at what we do in this thing called a church service, this hour, hour and a half where we sit down together. And we're going to be spending our time looking at two main things, preaching and singing. We'll also be doing something a little bit different today. Instead of going through the whole passage that Reese read to us, we're going to spend the majority of our time looking at one verse, Colossians 3:16. So we're going to start there. If you've got your Bibles open, please have a look at them. If not, it will be on the back of the screen. Let me read from Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. If God was going to speak to you directly while you were sitting here in church, would you listen? When we come into church and we get to this part of the service and we get the sermon, we should listen expecting God to talk to us. Preaching is the voice of God to you today. The main way that God speaks is not just through the Bible. Not just through the Bible being read. It's really important. Please do that at home. Please do that on your own. But it is vital that people hear the preached word of God. In Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he thanks God because they accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God. The Thessalonians heard human preachers, but Paul can say that they heard the word of God spoken to them. When the Bible is faithfully opened up here in church, it is no longer the preacher speaking. It is God speaking. The preacher doesn't add anything new, doesn't add anything fresh to the gospel, but has authority from God. So we shouldn't be casual listeners, as if this was just another sermon that we're going to listen to. We shouldn't skip church this week because we don't like the preacher. I don't like his style. I don't like his stories. I don't like him. I'm not going to go. We shouldn't do that. But we also don't instinctively listen to preaching as the voice of God. Our natural reaction is to simply take it as the voice of a person. But God's Holy Spirit is good, and he opens our ears, so it's not just James's voice you are hearing, it is the voice of God. So then if the sermon is worth listening to, because it is the word of God, how do we listen? Colossians 3:16 tells us to dwell on the word of Christ, and we need to listen to be able to dwell on it. I'm not just speaking to one person here today. We're a community of people that have gathered to hear God speak. And our listening impacts others. It actually makes an enormous difference how you listen. It makes a difference to me. So if you were to sit there and laugh politely at all my jokes, that would be good for me. If you were to look me in the eye when I look at you, I would appreciate that. If I look at you and you quickly put your head down, you look away, that's not going to help. But our listening can also impact those sitting around us. If you're listening well, the person sitting next to you is more likely to be listening well. If you're sitting there scrolling through Facebook, the person sitting next to you is more likely to be distracted. Think with me for a moment about something simple. Your face. What does your resting sermon face say to the preacher? Let's call it a facial wallpaper. What's your facial wallpaper during the sermon? One author describes four different kinds of faces that are unhelpful during a sermon. We're going to go through these. The first one is the Shar-Pei dog. Have you seen the Shar-Pei dog? It's this lovable fellow. Don't you just want to grab his face and just really give it a good pull? Yeah, the person who has this face has a grumpy expression. You know, look at this guy. He's just sad. He's unhappy about being here. He kind of looks like he's got an eyebrow raised as if to say, "You're preaching?" This person is someone who has a closed-off expression. You know, they make it clear, "I have built up walls around myself. You're not getting in. I am not listening." And then there's my favorite, the invisible fairy hunter. This is the person whose eyes are flitting around church. They're counting the bricks on the wall. Maybe they're looking at the ceiling. Oh, the fans are on tonight. This kind of person is, you know, constantly wondering, "Oh, where's Tinkerbell?" Maybe you've done this before. I can't see anyone doing it right now. Maybe later. And then there's a stun mullet. The person who looks like they've just been shot in the neck with horse tranquilizer. And then there's the last one, the worst of them all. It's the dipping duck, where the person is struggling mightily to stay awake. The head droops forward, only to jerk awake, and then start drifting off again. What is your default facial wallpaper? How are you distracting or encouraging those people who are sitting around you? Are you allowing them to focus if you're not focused? Coming back to Colossians 3:16, let me read again. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Paul wants the church to dwell on the word of Christ and to dwell richly. Do you actually let the sermon dwell? Do you let the word of Christ dwell in you after the sermon? You know, once I finish praying at the end and say, "Amen," is that where it stops? Does your mind turn to what's happening tonight, what's happening tomorrow, busy week ahead, school, work, uni? If you view church like a movie, this is probably where it stops. You know, you're coming to church with your friends. You try and grab a comfy seat at the back so you've got a nice view of everything that's happening. Maybe you get stuck sitting down the front. Maybe there's a number of ads that go on during church, and then the main show starts, the sermon. Hopefully the preacher has some interesting stories this week. And then after this movie called Church, you have a cup of coffee and you dissect the parts of the movie that you liked or didn't like with your friends. "I really like this story," James said. "I thought that picture was cute. That's a funny dog. I want to get one." But that's about where it stops. Do you ever stop and dwell on the sermon, either alone or with others? Do you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom? It's easy to think that the preacher did a bad job if he hasn't forced you to change something. And we can be very quick to judge and be critical of preachers. But preaching is a team sport. Dwell personally on the passage. If you are taking notes right now, at the end of church tonight, take a moment. Go over your notes. Dwell on them. Ask, "What has God been speaking to me about today? How should I think differently? How should I feel differently because of what God has said to me today?" Dwell on the passage with others. Over that cup of coffee, over supper later, actually share what you were dwelling on. Brother, God has really challenged me about this. Have you thought about this? Instead of just leaving it at something that is shallow. One of the main aspects of church, the preaching. We have seen that preaching is to be a team sport. We are to all be involved, listening, teaching, and encouraging those around us. We now turn from preaching to singing. What does Paul have to say to us about singing in church? Have a look with me again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. What is the defining sound of church? What's the defining sound of music? Is it that classic organ which, you know, takes you back to the cathedral and to those, you know, beautiful moments with soaring organ? Is it the fullness of an acoustic guitar, the melody of a piano? Is it the heart thumping of great drums and bass? I really like all of these. But is one of these how church has to sound on a Sunday? The answer is no. The defining sound of church, whether on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, a Thursday night, should be the singing voices of God's people together. Yes, we are taught in Scripture the value of instruments. God tells us that he wants us to use instruments, to use stringed instruments, to use the harp, the lyre, the tambourine, the cymbals. All of these are good things. God wants us to use them to praise him. But we don't have to use all of them. There is only one instrument that God commands us to use, and that is our voice. Our voice. It's only our singing that brings words of praise to God. Explicit musical expression of God's awesomeness, his mercy, his grandeur. The most important instrument to God is our voice. So who sings then? Is it just talented people like James West and Alex Coe? Is it just for those who can carry a tune? Everyone has a voice because God has made us all to sing to him, even if we are not musically talented. It's not just that people who have awesome voices with a great range are allowed to express how mighty and great God has been to them. Throughout the Bible, just people are continually praising God with their voice. It's not exclusive. It's not only for the trained. It's not just for males. It's not just for females. It is for humans. It's part of being a Christian. When Christ saved you, he became the song that you sing. 1 Chronicles says, "Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works, sing to the Lord all the earth, tell of his salvation from day to day." Now, I'm sure there are a number of us here who just don't like singing. Maybe you're in this camp. Maybe you just don't like singing. It's not for you. Maybe you think, oh, look, singing is just one form of worshiping God. How about I do all of those other forms of worshiping God? And you guys, well, you can do the singing. That's fine. We'll leave James West to do it. He sounds lovely. It's not for me. Maybe you don't like the songs that we do. Maybe you don't like the style of them. Maybe you'll sing at home to a CD of worship songs you do like. Part of what we do when we gather as church is we sing to God. We need to trust God with what he wants. He wants us to worship him by singing. And so we need to obey, even if it doesn't always feel natural, or we want it, or feel we're good at it. I remember hearing about a friend's wedding, and they had a gift registry. I think the gift registry was at David Jones. And I think their grandma went to buy a gift, and she looked at the list on the gift registry, and she thought, I don't like any of these things. I don't want to buy them for this couple. so I'm not going to. And so she bought something else for them instead. Now, that this is really lovely that she actually wanted to buy something for them. But in one sense, it doesn't really matter what her opinion is of the things this couple have asked for. This couple have asked for particular things. You know, if she bought them a lovely kettle cover and thought, there you go, that's lovely, but they didn't have a kettle and that was on the list, that makes it a bit frustrating. God has told us one of the ways that he wants to be loved, one of the ways that he wants to be worshipped and enjoyed. God has commanded us to sing. But not only that, he is worthy of us going out of our comfort zones. He is worthy of singing a song with instruments that you don't like. God is worthy of singing a song that is too quiet, that is too loud. He is worthy of you singing when we gather as a church, regardless of what the music looks like. Now, we work hard here at 6 p.m. to pick songs that glorify God, that show different aspects of who he is, to use songs written by a number of different people. And we like to continually sing new songs so that we stay refreshed and encouraged. That's one of the reasons why we sang a new song tonight. Let's come back to Colossians 3:16, and let's have a look at these last couple of important words. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Those last couple of words are really important. We can have the most amazing songs. We can have the best singing in the world, and we can do it all with the wrong hearts, without thanks and gratitude to God. My favorite part of when we sing is when the song gets really quiet, the instruments get really quiet, and you can hear the church sing. Do you like this? This is my favorite part. It's wonderful. We're going to do it again in a minute when we sing our last song. Please sing loudly. But we can sing in this way without honoring God. You know, if our minds are off with the fairies, if I'm thinking, you know, my mouth is going through the motions, but my head is thinking about tomorrow, that's not honoring God. Even if it is the whole church singing as one voice together and our minds are off, that is not honoring to God. Singing that truly honors God is not just about singing. Singing is about responding to God. That is why there are so many different types of songs. It is good and right to sing fast, upbeat songs, like that song that we sang earlier, It Is Finished. It's one of our newer songs. It's an exciting, fast song, and it declares what God has done. God has done all that is required. It makes my weary heart want to rejoice, and it makes me want to rejoice loudly. That song does a particular thing. But a song like Amazing Grace, it's slower, it's more contemplative, as I consider that I am a wretch before God. I was lost, but I have been found. When we come before God singing, we need to check our heart at the door and make sure it is tuned to God before our voices are tuned to sing. Finally, when we sing in church, just like in preaching, singing is a team sport. We aren't just singing to God. It's not just a vertical. We're not just praising God. We're actually encouraging those who are around us. Have a look again at this verse. Every time it says you, it is a plural. Now, we don't really have a plural in Australian. Thankfully, those good American brothers do. Their plural for you is y'all. So let me read this again, the American translation. Let the word of Christ dwell in you all richly, as you all teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you all sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in y'all's hearts to God. I'm not sure about that last one, y'all's. Faith, does that work? What would you say? You don't say? You don't. Faith. Use? Use. In use's hearts. Dwell in use richly. We're encouraging one another. This is for, it's not just for you individual, it's for you all. As you sing with gratitude in all of your hearts, encourage those around you. Let me ask a question. Do you think those sitting near you would sing louder if you were just standing there? Or do you think they would sing louder if you were singing along? I'm sure some of you have thought, if they heard my voice, they would just want to leave the building. There's someone here at church, and they sing, and they sing passionately, but they don't have a great voice. They have a loud voice, and they're very passionate when they sing. And do you know what? I can often hear them, even if I'm sitting a good couple of seats away from them. But every time I hear them, I am so encouraged. It makes me want to sing. Not so that I'm louder than them, but I'm really encouraged by this person singing. Now, it's none of you here. Our instruments are important in church. But what God wants of us, He wants us to sing. He wants us to respond to what He has done in our lives through the death and resurrection of His Son by singing with gratitude in our hearts. We've seen that the two main aspects of church are preaching and singing, and these are team sports. We are to be involved listening and teaching, singing and encouraging those around us. Church is not just like a movie. Church is not just like a concert. Church is more like a team sport. There are those who do things up the front. There are those who do things behind the scenes. And there are those who sit in the pew and take notes during the sermon, who encourage others, who dwell on the passage after. And there are those who belt out praise to God during the singing. What part are you going to play? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word to us. Heavenly Father, help us to dwell on it richly. Help us not just finish church and forget what You have been saying to us, but Father, help us to hear You tonight. And Father, help us to sing songs with gratitude in our hearts to You in response to what You have done for us. We ask this in Your Son's name through Your Holy Spirit. Amen.